Okay, we'll go ahead and start it again. I don't even care if they can hear me talking right now. Keep it casual. That's the jingle that came directly on the board. We're that cheap. We're just using the one that came from the factory. So, yeah, coming at you from an undisclosed location in Middle America, we are the Truth Agenda, on a never-ending search for facts in a world consumed by media lies and censorship. I did that while you were down there, too, so I'm going to try to cut that out. Oh. That'll be our new thing, and I'll stick that on a button, too, so I don't have to say it every time.
Yeah.
So, what to talk about tonight?
Well, we already talked about a few things that we didn't get recorded.
Yeah, because I forgot to push the button. It's complicated. It's so complicated. I talked about the Dogecoin earlier. You know, I guess I'll just recap that a little bit, but without getting into all the detail. But I own Dogecoin. I wish I would have sold it. I got it sent to me about 5 years ago, my brother. I guess he was just wanting me to get into crypto. So I'm like, man, I don't even have a crypto wallet to hold the money in or anything. So I went and got one, an app, and he sent me, at the time it seemed like, oh, you know, thousands of coins or whatever, but it was the cheapest possible coin you can get. It's the Dogecoin. When I got it, it was worth 0.0002 of a cent.
Oh, wow.
Each. I had 2,285 of them.
Wow.
And it was worth 48 cents, all of them.
Oh, my gosh.
So when it went from 0.0002 up to, what was it last night? It got up to about 7.1 cents. So that's a massive increase. So it went from 48 cents up to, at the peak, about $171.
Wow.
So nice returns.
Should have cashed out.
Yeah. He was supposed to pay for some work that I did using Dogecoin. It would have been a $250 worth of Dogecoin. And at that time, at that 0.0002, that now would be worth, at the peak last night, it would have been worth like $50,000,
$60,000. Oh, my gosh.
From 250. So, yeah, I'm sort of like, he sold most of his. He had 50,000 of them.
Wow.
So, because he's had it for years.
And he sold his.
Yeah, he sold most of it off. He still has like, I think he said like 5,000.
Wow.
Which is not much, you know, a couple $100. So that's that. You know, like I mentioned a little bit earlier when we forgot to record, or I forgot to unmute myself. I think a lot of that might have just been the hedge fund people or somebody connected with them, distracting people from the stock stuff, mm-hmm. to try to get them off their back because, you know, they're basically trying to shut down the market to keep people from trading just those particular stocks. They can sell them, but they can't buy them, which helps the hedge fund people. And that's just completely wrong, you know. Through this whole pandemic, the rich, the billionaires, have been making money hand over fist,
yep.
because all the local places and stuff are shut down, mm-hmm. but Amazon can stay open, Walmart can stay open,
right.
All the big places. So they're making tons of money while the small people are struggling. And then when the small people fight back and hit back, they're shutting them down again.
Yep.
With the help from the I almost said Obama administration. It's the Obama 2. But the new Biden administration and Janet Yellen, I think, I still can't remember if she's Treasury or not. I'm pretty sure it is. Or not, is it not Treasury? Yes, I'll check. But, you know, she's going after, she wants to go after crypto. She wants to go after, like, anything the government doesn't, you know. And they were avoiding that question before.
Yeah.
During the campaign, people were asking them, are you going to, you know, try to regulate cryptocurrency? Because a lot of people would not have voted for them, mm-hmm. if they were. So they said, oh, no, there's no reason for us to even think about considering anything. And then, bam, you know, here we are.
Just like the majority of things they said they weren't going to do that they ended up doing.
Every time. Every issue.
It's maddening.
Yeah.
And then the way the press treats the new press secretary, I mean, you would think that she just, they never ask her a real question. You know, I mean, they treat them so different from the last administration that we just came through. I mean, it's just maddening. They're talking about color schemes and Rolex watches and not, hey, do you know that how are we going to handle it when Biden can't be the president anymore because he has dementia?
Mm-hmm. So I'm just waiting on that. Yeah, because he admitted that, you know, I forget the exact quote, but they ask him, I don't even remember what they asked him, but his statement basically was like, oh, he was saying like something like, well, what if you guys disagree on an issue? Him and, I'm not going to say it the right way, him and Kamala,
mm-hmm.
Not Kamala. No, it's Kamala, but no, it's Kamala. But, you know, what would happen if you guys disagreed? And he's like, well, you know, we would try to come to a compromise. But in the final, he went through a couple scenarios at the very end. He's like, well, then I guess I'll get some strange disease and resign.
Yeah.
You know, and then just turn it over to her, which is the goal all along. That's the only reason they picked her, you know.
And he's done that, if you notice. I mean, throughout the whole, all of the last year, he's done that in such a way. We have the most extensive voter fraud system set up in place. Well, they actually did. But, like, everybody goes, oh, he made a mistake on his words. No, he didn't. He does stuff like that all the time. He says the truth because he's mentally ill.
Yeah.
And he says what he knows instead of
or
the
lie. Or he just
says
what he's thinking.
Yeah, what he's thinking.
Like when he was walking into the inauguration, exactly. Going into the Capitol, he said, salute the Marines.
Salute the Marines. And then the media, of course.
That's probably what somebody told him to do.
In his earpiece.
Yeah, in his earpiece, yeah.
So he said, salute the Marines out loud. Well, the media is now saying that he said, good-looking Marines.
Right, I saw that today.
Because, you know, they have to cover for him all the time, too.
Right.
So, you know, it's just maddening. I mean, I just, the way that the difference is just astonishing.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many. I'm trying to think of some of the other silly things he said, but there's an uncountable number of them.
You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
Yeah, yeah, like that one in particular. I put that on the keypad, so we're going to try to get some more. It's still not very, well, okay, let me turn that up. Okay,
there you're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
There we go, much louder.
How dare you!
Oh, I probably should have kept, I probably shouldn't have cut it off at the laughter on Greta. I should have let it go, you know,
yeah,
so you could hit, like the crowd, hit, because it's a crowd, just like the crowd.
Yeah, there. We could hit the laugh button.
Greta. Let me shut that one off, and then I'll do Greta.
How dare you!
That's perfect. It sounds just like the actual thing. So yeah, that's pretty cool. We're gonna find some more. We can store 16 of them total. We kept a couple of the default ones. Then I added this one when we go and start talking about.
You know what? Let's talk about that.
Okay.
Because I just asked you. Oh, okay, it's still going. I just asked you that question earlier about the X-Files. How I had heard that the X-Files, it's not like a script that they wrote. It's actual events that already happened in real life. And they made this show about it, tried to make it seem fake. So if you talk about UFOs, you're crazy. That's just that show. But like, those are actually things that happened.
Yeah, yeah. That's for a long time, that was a rumor. And then I believe it was Conan O'Brien or one of the late night talk shows. They had Chris Carter, the director, producer, whatever he is, on there. And they asked him a similar question, like, where do you get these ideas from, these show ideas? And you know, does somebody, like, come to you from the government and like, give you ideas or whatever, like, tell you the truth? And I can't remember what his response was or whatever, but there was basically, there used to be an office at the Pentagon called the Pentagon Office of Disinformation. Mm-hmm. And so what that office was, what their whole job is to do is to take real classified information and release it to people, you know, like Chris Carter. They specifically mm-hmm. go to him. They send like an agent out and say, you know, here's an idea, take it, put it on TV. You know, here's yeah. the details and stuff. Not all the details, but so they do it. And then if that, and usually they would do that right around the time they had like a document leak, or if they had like a whistleblower getting ready to come out with that information, they would leak that same information out. So when the whistleblower does blow the whistle and hits media, then they just call him a wingnut, you know, a crazy person, and it's discredited.
Right.
Another good sci-fi show, it was in the, I think it was in the mid to late 2000s, called Stargate. Mm-hmm. It's based off the 1994 movie Stargate. It was just a TV spinoff of it, Stargate SG-1. And they actually had an episode on SG-1 about how they did that.
Oh,
how
my
they
gosh.
Have an agent, they send it out, they have a director. They actually, the Stargate program was like inside, it was under the big mountain, Cheyenne Mountain, NORAD. It's like 25 floors below NORAD in an underground base. That's where the Stargate was. And so there was a leaker, you know, so they took all that information, fed it to a TV guy. They made an entire great TV show that everybody loved about it. And then when it did leak, it was discredited, just like I just said.
It's discredited. So, unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's smart.
Yeah. Yeah. But what better way to discredit something than, you know, oh, where did you? You've been watching too much TV.
Yeah, you've been watching too much TV. Exactly. Come on, you saw that on. And then let's say, you know, you end up in court, and there it is on TV, and they're like, "Oh, okay, well, never mind. I must have dreamed that up because you know, like you can literally use that against people if you had to."
Yeah,
it's just wild the way that they do things. And I mean, right now, all the information that's coming out about UFOs and how they're real, that the Pentagon is actually like releasing all this real information, all this declassified information, and nobody's talking about it because we're all so enamored by COVID and whatever else,
game
you know.
Stock.
Yeah, GameStop. And what was that? We were talking about Robinhood. They got, you know, 150,000 negative reviews, and then they eliminated the reviews. Like, we're all talking about censorship and COVID, and nobody's
and
even
trivial
paying
things. Yeah.
Nobody's paying attention to the fact that they just said, we have vehicles that are not of this earth.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that...
It's maddening.
That's what I was about to say. That's gonna be our show thing. It's maddening.
It's maddening. It's maddening.
I'm gonna cut that out and stick that on the soundboard. You can just hit that button whenever you wanna say it.
It's maddening.
So,
it's the truth. It is. It is so frustrating.
So yeah, so basically, just a you know, for the few listeners we may have now, I mean, we just started this a few weeks ago. We did finally pick up some new equipment. We have a nice podcasting rig, the Rodecaster Pro. It has it's a 4 input, has Bluetooth, and the sound pad, like we talked about.
How dare you!
And, you know, it's a lot of fun. So we've been configuring that tonight and working on that. I guess we have to get really used to talking right into the mic because I've turned my head a few times, and if you... But, yeah, so I got to stay in front. So, we're planning on just, I think the quality is going to be a lot better than our previous two. So, and then we're trying to get a caller to call in, but nobody, and we have our Truth Agenda group on Signal with a bunch of I just turned my head from the mic with a bunch of our friends in it. So, but nobody wanted to be a guinea pig. That's too bad. Too bad. They could have been the first guest. So.
We can call. Well, my phone's almost dead. I was going to say. She would answer. I know somebody would probably answer, but.
Oh, you'd have to disconnect and connect.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, never mind.
Too,
that's true.
So, I could. Well, my brother's always busy in the evening.
Ooh, look what I just noticed up here.
What's that? Yeah, 15 minutes and 30 seconds so far, but we'll cut that down a little bit when that person just, somebody just called me. So
yeah,
you're not going to know that because I'm going to cut that out. But so, yeah, this is a lot of fun. Let's see here. So what else has been going on? What
happened in the world today? Let's see. Oh, Joe Biden signed about 40 executive orders.
Oh, more? 40 more?
Yeah.
He said 100 in the first 100. I guess he's got 100 in the first week and a half.
It's
so
crazy. But listen now, I'm telling you, that day of the inauguration, okay, I watched him sit down at that desk and start signing blank pieces of paper. Mm-hmm. There was nothing written on them.
I think I want to be fair. I want to say they caught Trump doing that too, but now Biden's doing it as well. So it might just be the photo op type thing.
I mean, it is ridiculous. He's there signing away.
Probably for the reporters, you know, so they can get their shots. But with the high resolution cameras now, they can zoom up and see nothing on it.
It's nothing.
In the old days, they couldn't zoom up that far. So yeah. It looked like he was really signing something. So yeah. It's probably a photo opportunity for, because there's different pools of photographers that come through. You have like a lower level pool. They still want to get their picture, so they're probably signing fake ones.
Yeah.
But then when the real media, well, I shouldn't even call them real.
They're not real.
The photographers are okay. They're usually okay. Some of them get a little opinionated sometimes, but then the bigger ones, the more reputable ones come in and they get to be there for the real ceremony, I think. So that's probably what it is.
Well, I saw a video of like Fox News and them on a top of a building and they were that far away from the Capitol. But then you watched it on TV and it was like they were right there, but all media was having to stay on top of that building. Now, how did they get those close-up shots if nobody was allowed down there? I watched it on Fox News.
You would be
up
shocked.
Close and personal.
You would be shocked at the cameras. I when I was researching this podcasting board, I ran across some videos on cameras, like professional grade. And it was specifically a video. I was like, why are, like football, the cameras they have at football fields and stuff, why are they so large? Well, their lenses are unbelievably out of this world. I mean, they zoom all the way out. It's like 30 millimeter, which is pretty close, you know, and everything's, you know, pretty far off. So they had a girl standing across the field. You could barely see her. And they zoomed all the way into like a close crop of her face. And
really?
You could see every detail perfectly, like you were standing face to face.
Yeah.
From that far away. And then they had another guy who was in a studio, but it was a big studio. And they were zoomed all the way out. And they zoomed right in on his eye, on a single eye. And you could see every little detail of his eyeball.
Oh, really?
So that's how they do it.
Yeah, because I'm like, this ain't adding up.
Because those cameras are huge. I mean, the camera itself's not any bigger than, you know, about the dimensions of a laptop, but when they attach on those lenses and they have to use special zoom bars so they don't shake the camera. It's fascinating. It's neat. I knew there were big ones. I didn't know exactly why they had to be so big either, but that explained it all.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, they were far and I'm thinking, well, how is this working?
And you have to literally be able to zoom from all the way out to like all the way in instantaneously.
Yeah.
And those cameras will go, you know, like instantaneous instead of like.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, yeah. So what next? UFOs. We talked a little bit about the UFOs and the Pentagon. I'm trying to think of it. The Navy patents. I saw an article the other day about the Navy patents. Let me bring that article up. So. No, basically, it was a guy, U.S. Navy documents dubbed UFO patents reveals experiment with space-time modification. That's the link I sent to one of the people in our group last night. So U.S. Navy's UFO patents files reveal experiments for a space-time modification weapon that would make a hydrogen bomb seem like a firecracker. The Naval Air Warfare Center Aircraft Division, that's a mouthful, conducted the experiments, exploring the work of Dr. Salvatore Cesar Pais. UFO patents had been vouched for by the head of the Navy's Aerospace Research Enterprise, so that's big. The Navy was filing them as Chinese entities worked on similar technology advancements. And that's interesting, actually, because they say that's one of the reasons that Trump started the Space Force is because way back years ago, I mean, the Chinese have been infiltrating us for a long time anyway, especially like aerospace companies like out at like Lawrence Livermore. There was a lot of leaked documents out of there, and they're stealing like things like for jets and weapon systems and stuff like that. But they say they stole so much of that stuff over the years that some of their technology is on equivalent or even better than some of ours now. And when it comes to the black budget stuff, you know, the stuff they don't even tell us about, the Chinese have also worked in those areas. I'm talking like anti-gravity craft and spacecraft that we already have. they developed them already, right, since they have virtually unlimited resources. Mm-hmm. They just slave labor,
yeah,
to mine all the materials and the, you know, their scientists and everything. We don't have to pay them a bunch of money. You just, you know, threaten to kill their family.
Yeah,
and exactly. And they'll work for free forever.
Yeah.
So, and very, you know, they'll do everything in their power to make it work.
Right.
You know, unlike U.S. signed, you know, they're paying me $300,000 a year. I don't care.
Right.
So, so they say that's why Trump started the Space Force, was to finally get us on par with the Chinese and to stop them before they get too far,
yeah,
and they get space superiority. Mm-hmm. So,
because whoever's first.
Mm-hmm. And I think we already have stuff up there that they don't even know we have. So we're probably safe in the big picture. So, but the inventions are enabled through the Pais effect, a theoretical physics concept based on the controlled motion of electricity, charge, matter. See, they make me turn off my ads and then they start playing videos in the middle of the website. Yeah, that's great. Okay, there's the X button. Approximately $466,810 was spent conducting experiments for the project between the fiscal years 2017 and 19. So these were very recent, you know. It's not like it's an old project. So yeah, that's interesting. I have to follow that as it develops. It's sort of a long article, but I have to dig into that a little bit or try to maybe find another podcast on that somewhere on YouTube. So yeah, there's a
lot going on the UFO front.
Mm-hmm. So anything else you can think of? We're up to in the 20 some minutes now. I'm sure we'll cut a little bit out. Anything else you can think of to talk about right now? Or it's sort of getting a little late, I guess. So.
Yeah, no. Next time I'll make a list. I'll make a list next time.
Check it twice.
I just knew we would take so long this time. I didn't think we'd have long talk about hardly anything.
Right, yeah. We've just been trying to come
but
up
with. But we did, and I think it's going to be perfect.
Yeah, we'll get all our new jingles and everything.
Yeah,
and
hit them with a dog face pony soldier.
You're a lying dog face pony soldier.
I know. I'm sorry.
How dare you?
How dare you?
How dare you?
So it's going to be fun. We're going to get used to all this equipment and everything. I wish somebody would have got back with me for calling, man. I really wanted to do that. So, oh, well. I could always mute my mic like I did before and call myself. And then I can be on the air through my phone. Yeah.
So. We'll call somebody next time. If we have to, we'll call.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to say any names.
And eventually we'll do some live broadcasts too, you know. So
yeah.
Because I did set up a YouTube channel to put videos on. That's how I've been embedding them into the website. Just putting them on YouTube. So, but I can hook our board up to the computer, and then I have a software that we used the last time, that OBS software, and then that, instead of just recording it, you can do like live stream.
Oh, nice!
And it literally streams it live right on the YouTube. And then, you know, once we get some more listeners and we put out a set thing like, oh, we're going to be on the air starting around 7 o'clock on Friday night.
Yeah.
And we'll, you know, I'll get a fake phone number that'll forward to my phone. Not a fake one, but a disposable number.
Yeah.
And we'll stick it on the screen on the podcast. Yeah. And just some random person can call in that might be happening to stumble across our.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. We'll never know what they're going to say.
That'd be awesome.
It'd be neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then we'll have to try to goad our friends into calling, you know. I mean, I'm disappointed, man. Where is everybody? It's only 9.
Where is everybody?
9:08 on a Friday night. I guess they're probably all at the bar. Or
they
something.
Are probably, you know that.
I guess that's about it. Let's see. Do you want to come up with some cool little outro?
Let's think of one. We can do.
Until next time.
That's
so cliche.
Yeah, let's do.
We'll have to come up with something catchy.
Like, it took us a minute for the intro, but I love it. I think it's perfect.
Let me do that again while you're thinking. Coming at you from an undisclosed location in Middle America, we are the Truth Agenda, on a never-ending search for facts in a world consumed by media lies and censorship.
Okay, so our outro can be like, until next time. No.
We'll get our little jingle going again. I don't
I'm trying to think of a way we can tie into the intro. Like, until next time. Something like.
You have to
continue
come
your
up with something sort of not too serious, sort of niche-y, you know, maybe like
till next time
adios or something. I don't know,
that's what we can do.
Till next time.
Till next time.
Arrivederci. Dust me down.
Let's do that. Until next time. Ciao. Arrivederci.
Ciao. Goodbye. Dust me down, comrades.
You ain't got to go home, but you can't stay here.
You think this is bad neighborhood? It's about the worst thing. You know, you can hear like... Oh, I we need to end this, but it takes me back. It was a comedy show, and this Russian guy, I don't know if he was Russian or if he was just putting that, I think he was just putting the voice on, but he's like, yeah, you know, the Russian accent is like the scariest accent you could possibly like run across somebody who has it. You know, like there was this Russian guy, he's like walking through a hood at the middle of the night, and you know, two black guys come up to him and say, you know, what you doing here, cracker? And he's like, you know, this is a bad neighborhood. You're going to get your ass beat. He's like, you think this is a bad neighborhood? you know, I mean, just imagine. Those guys were probably, they probably shat themselves. You know? Oh, boy.
So. That is true. I mean, it is a scary accent. That is true.
But okay, well, I guess we're going to finish it up. So see you all next time.
Peace out.